Hey, welcome back to another episode of Salty Saints Podcast. I am Zach, and I'm hanging out with my friend Logan Oakes. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you, and I think this is actually, the sound is going to work this time.
All right.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm happy.
This is our third 20-second take. We've made it past those 20 seconds. We're good, and my phone just dinged in my pocket. So as soon as I turn that off, life is going to be better. Dude, it's good to see you. Good to talk to you. Good to have you on here because yeah, I haven't seen you in how long, man?
It's been it's been since my first wedding, probably when you cut my hair less. That's why I look so rough now.
That is wild.
Yeah, it's probably been since 2020.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got to ask. You said your first wedding.
Yeah, so I got married during the pandemic, and so it was like March 21st.
Did you guys do like two?
Yeah, so okay. We did two. And so, yeah,
I it guess just rolled off the tongue a little weird. I was like, I know it's yeah, no, just same, one same, wedding.
Same
like,
same what's
yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I need to get. I say that now, just like without even thinking about it, and I'm like realizing if you don't know me, that sounds real rough.
Dude,
it's been in 2 years.
I'm engaged. Did you know that I'm engaged?
I don't think I knew that,
hi, Logan. Hi, friend. I'm engaged. The word fiance just does not roll off my tongue. Mm-hmm. Like, also, it's a gross word. Mm. Sorry, everybody.
Just
it's just,
name, just
I just don't want to say it, man. I'm a very like informal guy.
Yeah.
And so my fiance, you know, like, yeah, it just doesn't work, you know?
I feel that.
But, yeah, so I'm getting used to it. I'm training myself. I'm beating my body into submission.
When's the wedding, dude?
As Paul once said. Ooh, great question. Probably October.
Cool.
Probably. Cool.
That was our
we are still
round
working
or second
through.
Wedding time. So fall weddings, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know
exactly.
Both, so I can tell you about a spring wedding, fall wedding. Thinking about doing another one just for fun.
Yeah, we might. You might just do it again, you know. We are going to be talking about – well, I think we should start by talking about you.
Let's do it.
Who are you?
Yeah, great question. I'm still figuring it out. My name is Logan Oakes, like you said. Grew up in Crothersville, Indiana, so just kind of a little bit south of you.
Yep.
We didn't really know each other.
If you blink,
up,
you could miss it, man.
Yeah. We didn't really know each other, which is crazy because we're only 10 miles away from each other.
We knew a lot of the same people, though.
Exactly, yeah. You were in a band with Mason. I was in a band with Mason. Mason was in a lot of bands.
Mason was in a lot of bands, yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, so grew up in Crothersville, moved to Indianapolis for college for 4 years at IUPUI, graduated with a degree in secondary education, English, and now I teach history at Crothersville, which is just a wild turn of events.
So. Yeah, yeah. Music, though, I think has been a huge chunk of your life, dude.
Absolutely. I guess I just kind of blew all by all that.
Well, we said band, and, you know, right. That's good. But, like, it was no small thing. Like, there was a lot of band.
So my parents were, like, in the early 90s, before, like, worship leaders were a thing, my parents were worship leaders at a church that I'm currently attending now. So it's really small world how that worked out. But so I grew up with my parents leading worship, and so music was, like, a constant thing in my life just growing up around parents who did that for not really for a living, but it was more than a hobby. It was like something they were getting income from, and they were doing it regularly. So kind of growing up with that, I got into music when I was like 11, 13, started a band with Craig, a guy you've had on here before,
yep.
Craig Bannister. And when we started playing music fairly consistently, and then we started the band called The Lasting Hope when I was like 17 or 18. And still together to this day, but it's definitely slower. So we toured for a while and did that whole thing, and it's a huge blessing. And now music for me is in the form of leading worship now, leading worship at a church through song, and as well as my wife and I are doing some music right now, which is really cool. That's the most exciting thing in my musical journey right now is getting to do music with my wife, which is something I never expected to be able to do. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it's a huge blessing.
So I think it would kind of benefit us to maybe talk about, you know, how has God used music in your life to influence people, to bring people to God? You know, like how has he made that a tool for you to use? And, you know, also how has that changed over time? Because I'm sure it's a little different now than it has been in the past too.
Yeah. That's great. So I got baptized after a Toby Mac concert, which is, I'm sure, like a testimony to a lot of kids. When I was 12 years old, I got baptized after a Toby Mac concert and made a public declaration of my faith at my church. And I would say from 12 to the next time in my life where I felt like I had an encounter with God, it was very much like a religious thing. Like, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't cuss. I'm still like that. Thankfully, I'm thankful that the Lord's kept me like that. But it was definitely more of like I was following rules, less about a relationship with Christ.
Very legalistic.
Exactly. That was how I kept my faith in my mind, was because I didn't do those things. And then when I was 16 years old, through music, I started – my form of rebellion was starting to go to like hardcore shows. Mm-hmm. And so like I was going to shows where there was a lot of screaming, and that was like – how I thought I was going to be edgy. And one of the first few shows I went to, there was a band called All Became New who played.
Me and Craig talked about All Became New.
And there was a real encounter there I had with Jesus, where through the band at the time, which was the last thing I was expecting at a hardcore show, a band I didn't really know, they were screaming all the time, was to have an encounter with Jesus where they preached the gospel, and it hit me in a way that it hadn't hit me before. And so although I had been baptized at 12, I really felt like it. 16 at that time in my life, I was like, oh, this is real. And so music in my life has been a place where I've had moments where I've recentered my life on Christ, or centered my life on Christ for the first time. And so it's still a bit like that today, where I find my intimacy with God through worship through song. And I definitely don't think that's I don't know if I wouldn't say that that's – I find worship for me through song to be the way that it's the easiest for me to communicate my thoughts. And so when I write songs, mm-hmm. typically I've been doing the songwriting thing for a while. They're typically ways for me to express my frustrations, my ambitions, and my the things I need to be able to say to God that I'm confused about.
It's an outlet.
Exactly.
It's kind of how David used it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I hope to be kind of mimicking there. So for me, now at this point in my life, singing songs is just a way. What I say to my church all the time is that what I love about worship through song is one of the only times in modern church that all together we declare Scripture and we declare God's goodness and His mercy and His sovereignty as a body of Christ, where typically is one person speaking over people in their congregation. Worship is a time where we all say it together, and I think there's beauty in that.
It's kind of like, what's the term? Like when you all read the same verse together. Mm-hmm. What is the term for that?
Liturgy, no.
Well, no.
That'd be the style.
Sorry, dude. I'm having a brain fart. Liturgy is a good word, and that is a form of liturgy.
Right.
But,
what's the...
Yeah, we're not doing this. Okay.
Yeah. It's better just to avoid it. What we don't know.
No, I like that, though. I like the idea that the reason we sing is because it's a common... It's almost like a creed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like right. You're just singing. Or like the Psalms, you know, like right. It's prayers or creeds or but I think we do it cuz we all know them and right. We can all level together and yeah, there is a communal element to that.
Right.
Yeah, I've never really thought of it in that way actually, which is weird.
And I think that's what at this point in my life why I feel so much conviction about the songs we're singing, the lyrics that we're singing. So if there's a lyric in my mind that doesn't check out anymore, like if there's a song that's been put out, and even if I love the song, like the music just is pumping, and I feel like the first two verses are amazing declarations of what God has done, and then the third verse has a line that's like, I don't really think that is theologically correct. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to sing that song anymore.
Do you ever change the lyrics?
I do. It's a song that's not necessarily bad theology, but just kind of off-putting, I think, is King of My Heart. When we get to the bridge of King of My Heart, you're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. I get what they're trying to say in the song, but right. for me, I just skip that and I end up adding, I usually just add a hymn to it, whatever hymn I believe that's going to be, fits that key at the time. I think typically last time we did it, we did Oh How Marvelous at the end of into that song. And I don't think God never letting you down. And if we look at like the broad scheme of things, as far as he's going to bring us to final salvation, like he's going to keep us because that's what his word says. I believe that's true. But I think I feel like that was a throwaway lyric and they put it in there.
Yeah.
So
it's lazy writing.
To someone whose wife just died of cancer, that's a rough lyric to hear.
Right.
If you don't understand, if you're a new believer, you're not thinking that in a 3-minute song.
I think you just hit the nail on the head too. And that's what I've said about a lot of these songs. Jason is one of the pastors here. He and I kind of lead up all the music. Mm-hmm. And I originally hired on here as a assistant worship leader.
Yeah.
And the first thing he kind of opened my eyes to, because I'd never really considered it, was the importance of lyrics
right.
in worship music. And he would not sing Reckless Love. Mm. Like people had, you know, brought it up. Why don't we play that? It's a great song. And here's the deal. It is a great song.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good song.
Melodically, I meant not lyrically. But
even lyrically, I understand what they're trying to do.
Right.
And I don't necessarily fault them, even though there's a Bethel connection and we can get there someday. Right. But yeah. my issue with it, and I think this is probably Jason's point, but like God's not reckless.
Right.
And by the word reckless means like without thought, without mm-hmm. any kind of like plan.
Throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, yeah. And God doesn't do that. God is right. methodical. God's thought through. So it's like it's developing a characteristic of God that isn't there.
Right.
Now, I can listen to that song and go, well, I understand that they're saying like he would do anything for me.
Right.
Like within his godly reason, of course.
Right.
And he's using that word as that kind of meaning. But that's not what that word means.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when you sing that to a room full of people that some of them are going to be baby Christians.
Right.
They're going to go, oh, God's reckless. It's like, he's not.
Right.
God's not reckless.
No, exactly. And that's a song that I retired for, I don't know how long I've been out, probably 3 years. I retired it after the first time I ever did it because of that. I'm big into John Piper, Desiring God, did a podcast over that song. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to retire it. And I did it for the first time in that 3 years, probably 2 months ago. And it was because what was happening with our church at the season of time, we just lost a ton of people. Like we lost a lot of members of our church to sickness, to cancer. And it was like they were young people. And I made sure before we sang that song to talk about there's some theological issues that could arise by you listening to the song. If you're – I don't know how I worded it, but what I was basically getting at is when we sing – the reckless love of God, the way I want us to be thinking about this today is not the characteristic of God as reckless, but our perspective of the fact that this is the only story in the world where the hero dies for the villain. That seems reckless from our perspective. And so for that moment, it's going to be another thing that I retire for the next 3 years. But for that moment, I was like, it seems like what Christ has done, knowing what I'm capable of, how evil and corrupt I am, that's reckless from my perspective. That's not his characteristic, but from my perspective, that's how I would define. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that for me?
Right. So, right. And I think that's probably how they intended it to be thought when they wrote it.
But I don't think you can get up on – I don't think people should get up on stage and without that kind
and
of –
And assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without speaking into it that much, because I think that is reckless itself.
And honestly – if you have to do that for a song every time you sing it, exactly. Yeah. Like, why are we even doing it? But like, yeah, like you said, like if you sing it once every 3 years and you're like, hey, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, do you want to take up your entire part of worship to try to explain why a song's not really singable?
Right.
It's probably not worth it.
Oceans is another one that Jason's yeah. brought up a million times. He's like, is the ocean good? Is it bad? What is the water? Because there's parts where I'm supposed to be in it and it's healing me, and then there's parts of it where it's bad and it's trying to kill me. Like, what is it?
Oh,
what is the ocean?
True. That's so true. I've never led that song, so I've never had to deal with that one, but that's
those,
so true.
Those are just two people love, and
yeah.
so I've got to kind of like sweep them at the knees there and just be like, look, there's reason. Like,
yeah.
There is reason.
Yeah.
Why we don't play these songs. But it really stinks because when you start really digging down into like how many worship songs there are that are theologically accurate.
There's some hymns. There's some hymns that have horrible theology. People hold on to hymns like they're some sacred jewel, and there's some of them that are they're amazing theology, and they teach us more than any other modern songs. But there's some hymns out there that say some really just off things.
Yeah.
And there's some hymn writers that, you know, if we knew with everything that goes on with Hillsong, with everything that goes on with Mars Hill, we throw away those people's books. But if you knew what the hymn writers did, what some of those hymn writers did, you'd be like, I'm never singing this song in church again. So it's funny that we hold on to certain things because they're antiques. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, man. Yeah, like we do – part of why cancel culture is a thing is because we see more now.
Mm, you know,
like if we had this kind of access to what people, you know, were doing in their personal lives, or, you know, just, made one statement online, or where their head was at when they wrote a song, like you just said. Like, yeah, I mean, cancel culture probably would have been more prevalent throughout history.
Right.
Now, given, I don't want to say that what's happening in the church is cancel culture. I think it's biblical.
Right.
but my point is, like, yeah, you're right. Like, we just see more now, and that is the reason why we judge people a little harsher, I think. So we talked about song lyrics.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, before we move on, before I forget about this, do you know Will Warren's contact?
Like his number?
Like how I could get a hold of him.
Yes.
I think he would be awesome to get on here.
I agree.
I can't tell you how many people that dude
has influenced
their lives. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And doing something most people in the church would scoff at.
Exactly.
You know, like, but like, exactly. He's the real deal. Yeah, that would be cool. I want to talk about that afterwards.
I got you.
But like, talking about worship. There's bad theology. There's bad songs. Worship isn't just music.
Right.
And I think we have a really hard time. Like, maybe we'll pay lip service to that within the church today. But at the end of the day, worship is the music in most people's eyes.
Yeah.
And that's just not biblically accurate. Like, it is a form of worship.
Right.
What are your views on that?
I think that... It's bad job security talk about it for me. Like, I say that from the stage a lot. Like,
you should hear my sermon last week.
Yeah. That's what I tell them all the time. It's like, I really shouldn't be telling you guys this because you're going to fire me because you don't need me up here. The term worship leader is just like such a lofty phrase. It's like, you don't need me up here to lead worship. Like, worship is not song. And I'd mentioned this to you before, but this last Sunday, what I felt like our church needed was to have a time where we broke down. Worship in the Bible is really never – you have in the Old Testament the priests sing over songs. But as far as worship in the New Testament, it never exists really with music. Paul says, you know, sing hymns, sing spiritual songs, sing psalms. But we don't see the church actively singing and calling that worship. Those two words are not really interchanged to mean the same thing. But what we do see is whenever in Nehemiah, they've come back to the temple after it's been rebuilt, and it says they read the law and the people worshiped. And so we see them reading scripture and worshiping. It doesn't say that they sang raise a hallelujah. It says they read the law and they worshiped. And so this Sunday, we just took out two songs, and we just read the scripture. And we read Psalms 145, which talks about his great name. And then we did finish it with a song, but it was to echo what the scripture had said. It wasn't to, this song is amazing. We did the chorus of 1,000 names. I know you by 1,000 names, and you deserve every single one. It was for us to listen to the psalm, the scripture being read, to worship at that moment, and then declare that as the body of Christ together. I know you by 1,000 names. Lord, you deserve every single one. So I think that, yeah, it's synonymous, unfortunately. Worship and song is the exact same in people's minds. You know that you go to church for 30 minutes of music, 30 minutes of sermon, and you get out, and that 30 minutes of music was the worship in people's minds. And, you know, like I said, it's I'm a part of that problem because my title is worship leader. Right. But I think that just like you've said, I'm hopeful that it's going to change by some leaders in the church, some people who've God placed in ability to speak to congregations and teach, that we go back to the roots and we talk about what is worship, and it's not song. It's a way we can worship through song, but just like we can worship through teaching, speaking, praying.
So. Yeah. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Too, because like how often do you hear like, well, we, you know, if we had different music,
right?
Or yeah. If we had, you know, a better light show, if right. We had, you know, and people don't like to lead with that stuff, but in the back of a lot of people's heads, and I know it because it comes out from time to time.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people in this world that believe like that's how you get people in churches.
Yeah.
And I mean, understandably so, because when we look at the mega church models out right. there, they all look that way.
Yeah.
But I think today we're learning right. there's a lot of bad going on yeah. in the mega church culture. So like yeah. There's bad in every church culture. I'm not trying to just sit here and knock on mega churches. It's warped. Churches are groups of people. They're screwed up.
Right.
My point is, when you equate music to worship, then it becomes, well, wait, we need better music. We need better lights. We need better sound. And you get away from the heart of it. That scares me for the future of the church. But I think there's a lot of people that grew up in the evangelical church ditching it right. and going like high church now,
yeah.
where it's like, oh, no, we want hymns. We want, you know, high liturgy. We right. want... We want all the old stuff. Yeah. And so it's like, well, that's proof that that's not the issue. But once again, we're not speaking to the issue right. when we pretend music is like what worship is. I pulled up a verse here. It's our passage. It's Amos 5:21-24. He says, I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice and endless river of righteous living. Hmm. I don't care about your songs.
Yeah.
I don't even care. Throw away the sacrificial system. It's great. Get rid of it. Because if your hearts aren't right, if you're not living justly and righteously, then I don't want all the crap that wow. you keep throwing my way. Like that's God talking yeah. through Amos. But I don't hear that one a lot.
Don't hear that one at all.
Yeah. That's crazy, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's... I feel like that would be offensive to the modern church culture.
Yeah, I mean, like
wild.
But. I mean, essentially, get rid of sacrificial systems and your harps and hymns and I hate the screeching of your guitars.
Yeah,
I hate your flashy lights.
Yeah,
I hate your long-winded prayers yep. because you're not living right.
Right.
Get right in your heart first, and then I love that stuff.
Right.
But if that's not right first, then this is all just garbage. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's got to be the new message of the church. If, you know, I believe that God is going to keep his church, as he says, the gates of hell are not going to overtake the church. But I do believe there's some time for reformation here.
Yeah. You know, so I actually, dude, look at you. You're bringing up all the stuff you need to bring up. I actually just mentioned this on Sunday, but when you read the translation in most of our Bibles there, when he says the gates of hell won't overcome it, that's what you get. The gates of hell won't overcome it. If you read the Greek, it's really more like the gates of hell won't be able to stand against it.
Hmm.
Like that, like we're on the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like we so often put it that we're on the defense and the gates of hell. It's like, no, it's supposed to be the other way around. Mm-hmm. Like that hell can't withstand the church.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's very odd that we've, I don't know, leaned so heavily on this, like, oh, we're just going to hunker down and bunker ourselves
right.
in and we should be fine, you know? Like, yeah. No, that's not it. It's supposed to be this outpouring, like, there you go, outpouring of righteousness and rivers right. of justice and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, justice is a word that would not be, it's, churches don't, or I don't know, I don't want to be like dog it on churches, but we don't like justice. We don't like thinking about justice as far as like we think anything that's condemning is mean.
But justice is also a scary word because we live in a culture that's twisted the word justice.
Yeah, it's opposite.
Yeah, so it's like, well, what even is justice? It reminds me of Pilate saying, like, what even is truth? Truth. What's worship? What's justice? Right. We're in a time when everything has been reassembled. I mean, genders have been reassembled. The basics of humanity have been twisted up and made into something else. And it's like, well, what's the standard by which we're going to get back to truth?
Right.
Because it's not working, the stuff we're trying to do. Like, the only place to go is Scripture.
Yeah. It's the only thing that's lasted the test of time. It's the only thing that will last the test of time.
Yeah. I don't know, man. it's scary. It is scary. So you've got another music project. Mm. You still doing that?
You mean my solo stuff? Yes. I don't want to say I'm – I think of my solo project at this point in my life as like a just a songwriting. It's just a songwriting experiment.
It's probably going to stay there.
I don't want to be – I don't want to do music outside of the church at this point for a career. And that's the 18-year-old me would slap myself in the face for saying that. I've had, thankfully, by the grace of God, to continue to do and to this day, my friends are still in the music industry and they're killing it, and I'm super proud of those guys. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm really happy being back in that town I grew up in. I'm really happy. I'm a teacher full time, and so I'm really happy to be pouring into kids. I'm in a public school, and I lead a group called the Fellowship of Christian Students. Like, wild place. It's a wild thing to be able to do. I'm taking the kids to the Creation Museum next week. And it's like, where else can you do that?
That's a bit of a drive, man.
Yeah. I got a school bus for it, too. So don't. Luckily, no one's going to hear about this, right?
That's like, awesome.
We're going to keep this one private, right? Yes. Public school, taking a public school bus to – it's like crazy. And I think God's doing some really cool things that – it's hard to do. Like, that's the most ministry I feel like I've done in my life in a public school. And I've got to play on stages in front of a lot of people, but a lot of those people already knew Christ, and we needed encouragement, and they needed encouragement. I needed encouragement, but I'm in a place right now that, I feel like I'm doing ministry for the first time, real ministry for the first time. And I don't want to neglect like the things that God has done, throughout the years, but this feels tough. This is hard ministry, I guess is what I should
say.
And
it's working with kids in a public school.
Yeah.
Not in the four walls of a church.
Right. I love the church and I love being a part of the church, but I'm thankful that God's kind of opened up a way for me to do something that's completely I'm doing it. I teach history and I love history, but I would not stay in public education for anything other than God's glory, because it's sometimes a nightmare. Like, just the stuff you have to jump through for schools, and I mean, it's all over the news right now. And obviously, I'm not making bank by being a teacher, so it's tough. But it reminds me over every single day why I'm doing this. Like, what's my reason here? So the root question with the music thing, with my solo stuff, at this point, I'm just trying to put out songs. I got really blessed last year, 2021, where a song that I had written in 2019 got picked up on a TV show.
What song?
It's Throw Hands was the song, and it got put on a TV show that just got picked up by Netflix International.
Really?
Netflix International, so only Netflix, not in the United States. But also it came out on Peacock originally. And a show called One of Us Is Lying. And it was like a big book, I guess. I never heard of it until after I saw that my song got picked up on it. But, you know, that's where I'd like to just put out songs for, like, to get on TV. Like, And that sounds bad, but like it's for the money because I just like writing songs.
Hey, Paul was a tent maker.
Exactly. Right? That's
like, that's don't feel bad, dude.
I there's songs that I want to write that are, you know, that song starts out with it's me talking about Jesus. Like, people love that Jesus flipped tables, but we're not Jesus. We don't get to go in and flip tables all the time. That's what that song starts. So I thought it was really cool that they picked a song for this very, very secular, very
which
worldly
they probably
TV show.
Won't play that part. It'll be
crazy. It's in there in the second before the second verse. So the TV show's already out. I don't know if I've said that.
I know.
Okay. So the TV show's already
one
out.
One of Us is Lying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of Us is Lying. Episode 2. It's at a part that I really wish my song wasn't associated with the part. I'll just say that right now. It's very hard for me
you
to
tell. You
didn't
have much say in that, though, right?
No, and it's very hard for me to be like wanting to tell people, go watch this show. It was like the most bittersweet moment. My song got picked up in a TV show, something I've dreamed about for my whole life. Oh, it's in that scene. Oh, I can't really tell anybody about it.
Oh,
but now
man.
At this point, I'm like, hey, there's a part in that scene that's just very bad.
It's a sex scene?
Yeah.
Okay.
it's same sex scene. You know, it's like rated PG-13. So
okay.
It's like, but still,
it's still right.
But in the background, you hear I'm talking about the Apostle Paul in the background, and it's a speaking part of the song where I'm just speaking. So it's clear as day that I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. So
that's a little twisted.
I know
that they went that route.
I don't think they. I think they previewed the first part, which is very like trappy rap, and I don't think they maybe like. Previewed the whole part of the song that the next part I talk about Paul, and it's just like a spoken word part. It's crazy.
That is so funny, man. I mean, like, but that's cool though. Okay. I mean, that's God taking a weird situation.
Right.
And whether they're aware of it or not,
right.
Plugging the gospel into the middle
right.
of it. You know what I mean?
And I wish I could say like my social media numbers have went up a ton, but they haven't. But the song has went up a lot of streams. And the song is blatantly about the whole thing about the song is I don't throw hands, I turn the cheek, like it's, you know, that kind of line. And so the whole song is just about like we reference Jesus and all the parts about where he got mad and use it to justify our unholy anger, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of talking about in the second verse before it says, you know, Paul was almost beaten to death, or he was at one point beaten to death, technically. So,
yeah, it's written weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you could go either way with it.
And so it's kind of just talking about where we draw the line of when do we actually have righteous anger.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, righteous anger is good,
right.
But it's got to actually be righteous anger.
Exactly. So that was cool. So that's my solo career at this point is just – I just want to put out songs that don't fit for what me and my wife are trying to do, which is like a worship project, kind of like a poppy All Sons and Daughters type thing.
Yeah. So that's super, super cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's weird now. Like, you've got me thinking, Josh is working in.
Yep. Yep.
That's crazy.
Him and Aaron. You remember Aaron West, who's our drummer?
Yeah, Aaron is doing –
He's with Big Daddy Weave, but he's working with another artist right now who's just – he's actually her manager right now, which is wild. Not her tour manager, but her manager for Ann Wilson. She has that song, My Jesus. Let me tell you about
it's a great
Jesus.
Song, dude. That's yeah. a cool song.
So
I like that one.
He's her manager right now, which is just crazy.
That's so weird. Aaron.
He's her tour manager and acting day-to-day business manager right now, which is just the craziest. I mean, he's just mind-blown about like how it's happened. And he doesn't think he'll be in that position forever. I think he's like under the assumption that she's going to be working with like a big – business manager at some point, but I think the goal is that he's going to stick with her as some management capacity. Like it's wild. Yeah.
That's crazy,
man. Watching God do things. And he's been the most faithful person I've watched throughout my entire life from the time that I watched him get baptized at 13 to what God's done with him now is like crazy about just,
he's just a genuine guy.
I
don't know him that well, but like,
met him, had interactions with
exactly.
him.
Yeah. And like the thing that sticks out in my mind about him most is like me and Mason would like show up at your guys' show.
Mm-hmm.
And on a cue, like we could, like Mason and Aaron had this like thing where they just like locked eyes from the crowd. And Mason could be like make a hand gesture. And Aaron would fit in just the highest, most tingy, nasty cymbal noise at that moment in time and just fit it into the song. But like on Mason's cue. And I don't know that you guys were ever aware Mason's out there trying to prompt Aaron to just hit like stupid cymbal noises. But he would do it every single time. And like, you know, it didn't mess anything up. It just like we knew it was there.
Yeah.
Nobody else probably knew it was there. And so that's so funny, man.
Yeah. And then Josh is he's sound engineer for Sidewalk Prophets right now. So that's just another cool thing to Josh, super talented and just watching God do something crazy in his life, just really cool. So,
God just takes a bunch of random dudes from small town Indiana just plugs them all in all over the Christian music industry. How crazy is that?
We're in a group message, and it's last night. Aaron sent me a message. So Aaron flew Josh out this weekend to go help with Big Daddy. We were doing some shows in California, and Aaron sent us a text message of a picture of Josh running the board, and it says, us Indiana boys taking over the country or something stupid. Like he was just being dumb. And I was like, yeah, me and Craig got Jackson County. You guys take the rest. Yeah. we're gonna stay here. But
well, I mean, Craig was even at K-Love for a while. Like, that's so funny, man. I mean, just like middle of nowhere Indiana all over now. Yeah. Like, that's so cool.
It's wild.
I love that. That's super cool, man. Okay, I got a random one for you, man.
Hit me.
You did a single with John Keith.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I know. I got him right before he got like real big.
How did you get in? Like, how did you even, like, was he on King's Dream at that point in time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he popped up. We were on our way to West Virginia like in 2017, and he popped up on Apple Music. Like, it was like a new Christian artist thing they had going at the time. And I looked him up, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. I haven't heard like hip hop in CCM. CHH, I think that's what they prefer to be called. I haven't heard like somebody doing this. It's like CHH for a while had been kind of like cheesy, or it hadn't caught up to the mainstream style. And so I felt like he was like one
they're
of the
doing better
people.
Now. They're doing way better now.
Yeah, it's so they're setting, in my opinion, like the new standards. But he was like one of the first people I heard that I was like, oh, this guy's gonna do something. And so I reached out, and he was super gracious to do the song with me, and so. That's been my biggest song by far. It's going to probably stay my biggest
song.
It's
good stuff. Yeah. It's good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, he's still like my favorite artist. So
yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say we're acquaintances at best. I wish we were friends.
Right. But he's awesome. Well, but I mean, that's cool, man. Yeah. Like, no, I knew you did that song with John Keith. Yeah. And like, I'll be honest, man, I don't dive into the Christian music industry nearly like I probably should, because there's so many Christian bands out there that I just don't really buy what they're putting out there, you know? And I hate that I'm that skeptical coming to it, but I've just met a lot of people and I don't know. I'm a little jaded. But when I saw KD, like King's Dream on his thing, I'm like, King's Dream, where do I know that? I'm like, that's Ruslan.
Yeah.
That's Ruslan's record label. So that's so cool, man, that you got. Yeah. I mean, that's so cool. That is somebody that I think is doing a lot of good.
Now. Man, he's blowing up.
Oh, he's killing it.
I've had more conversations with him than I have John Keith.
With Ruslan?
Yeah.
Really?
Because I was like very early on to his Patreon game. And so like he reviewed every time I've had released like a song, I've sent it to him for review first. Mm-hmm. And so he's done like the live stuff, which has been great for me for like putting out content. Like I can get his reaction to my songs and stuff like that. I don't think he does it like a ton anymore. It's mostly now he's just putting out like the longer.
He's got to be super busy.
Yeah. But he's been super, had a lot of conversations back and forth. He's been super, super nice and super encouraging. He was a big fan of a lot of the stuff I did, which is really cool.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. No, I mean, dude, I love that you have done so much in music and you continue to do so much in music, but that at the end of the day, you feel like God's using you more working with kids at a school than the church stuff. Like I said, not knocking church stuff. I mean, I work at a church. But we got to get people's focus back on like boots on the ground, just being out there, one foot in the secular world, like right. we got to keep coming back here because we got to feed, we got, you know, we right. got to eat, we got to feed other people, we got to yep. encourage one another and confess our sins to one another and heal and grow. But like, what good is that? It's like the light that you put under the bowl, you know, mm-hmm. that Jesus talks about, or you know, not putting the light on top of a hill, you know, like
right.
you're light, go be light for the world.
Yeah.
We're not doing that if we just hunker down in these four walls.
Something I just thought about is like it. I've said it before. Like church, it's become a country club, and it really needs to be like a VFW where we come back and share our war stories every week. It's less about like what we come in here to do and live with just these people, but it should be more like we come back to church to share, to get encouragement, to rebuild, and then we go back out. Not that people who go to the VFW go back out to war, but you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. That's a really interesting like way of putting it too, because like I look at like churches are not zero level entry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't just walk in here and then just like be like, oh yeah, I get this. Mm-hmm. You know, like right. I think of a VFW as a zero level entry place. Like yeah. that's an everyman's building. Anybody can walk in there and they're not going to get judged. It's like, oh,
everybody
cool, welcome.
Should go to a VFW every once in a while.
Yeah, maybe that's a small town Indiana. Like yeah. we're just used to that. But
yeah,
yeah, I like that. Like. We need to be easily accessible, and the best way to do that is by going to people, but then come back together. I like that, man. That's cool. I'm going to steal that. Sorry.
Take it. I wouldn't have came up with it if we wouldn't have been sitting here. So
fair enough.
We'll share it. Cool. We'll patent that.
Yeah. Do you have anything on your plate that you really want to talk about while you got people listening?
Well, I've mentioned it several times just passing, but the thing I'm really excited about right now is my wife and I are putting out music, and we haven't really like launched everything fully. We do have some social media stuff. It's Logan and Katie Worship. But she'd never sang before when we got married. Didn't even know she could sing when we started dating, and now we're getting ready to put out our first song. So I'm mixing it currently. That's what I've been doing on my spring break. Been about 30 hours in the studio so far in the last few days, and mixing and mastering a new song. And so we're going to be putting that out pretty soon and trying to write some like very songs that I want to sing at the church.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I ever will. The plan is not to get up and demo. I'm not like a songwriter who goes and shows his church all my songs.
Right.
Like I don't get up there and do that whole thing. But I think these are songs that could be sung in the church. And so I want to write songs for at this point, I want to write songs for believers to sing and
like you know, worship music.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I'm really excited. The thing that's always held me back, or music, or been like the struggle, is that I'm a singer who can't really sing. Like it's very hard for me to sing. I've just never been,
Shut up.
I would definitely get booed off American Idol, and it would be fun times for all. But Katie's extremely talented, and she's just super gifted, and she has a humility about it that a lot of people don't have, and it's partially because she's super self-conscious and never sang in front of people.
Hey, dude, that's a blessing. People don't understand. That's a blessing.
So she doesn't even know how gifted she is. And so for me, it's able to, I get to write the songs that I've always wanted to be able to write, but I've never like, I can't sing these songs without it sounding like, I don't know, but she can perform the songs I've always wanted to.
She's like Billie Eilish's brother.
Exactly. I'm Katie's brother.
No, he's not, everybody.
Take that off. But exactly. It's like I get to write songs. Somebody better perform them, so it's really cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know I just gave you like total promo space, and then I thought of one more thing that I would like your take on, man. We kind of talked about like the where worship fails, like that we've – well, not where worship fails, but what we call worship fails, mm-hmm. Where we just kind of turn it into, oh, it's strictly music. But like one theme I have found in the current like worship music is it's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? And what do we do about that?
I just addressed this last week, 2 weeks ago at church, and we did a new song. And I know I don't ever do like songs that have just came out because I'm like I want to give them time to breathe. But we did Lion by Elevation. I don't know if you've heard it. Mm-mm. It's brand new. And I'm typically very – it's Elevation, another one of those things that I try to give them. I really want to look into the lyrics, like what are you actually talking about here? Where is this actually found in Scripture? So I'm typically – I'll let songs live for 6 months before I ever think about even doing them. But this was a song that it doesn't have a single me, I statement. This is a song, Hail, Lion of Judah. And so I was able to kind of explain what is the Lion of Judah, where does that come from? When Jacob addresses his son Judah, and I got to kind of address that, but started with saying, like, even the best worship songs I feel like we sing as a church, Amazing Grace, Saved a Wretch Like Me, Here I Am to Worship, I Can Only Imagine, not really a worship song, but still, these big songs, they're all very me-focused, and I think that's a good thing, because I think we need times of confession, we need songs of thinking about his mercy and his goodness, but there also just needs to be songs that echo what's happening in heaven right now, what we see in Revelation 5 happening, where we are just declaring God's goodness and has nothing to do with us, and talking about John the Baptist, where he says, I must decrease, he must increase. Mm-hmm. I wish there were more songs like that. I could think of that one right off the top of my head, and I could think of Revelation song. And even that one still has like some things that are like, these are lofty lyrics, but it's a good song. Good song.
And don't get me wrong, it's not that I think that there's like no place for me in the song, because that's part of what glorifies God, right? Is like what he's done for his people. Right. My issue is that there's just some that focus on the me a little bit more than they should.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where I'm coming from. Another thought, though, and Jason and I have talked about this, why are there no worship songs about lament?
You guys should just come over to my church sometime.
Yeah, we'll just have great conversations, dude.
I didn't sing one about lamenting, but I did talk about that. Like, all these songs, like, it's okay to sing songs about not understanding what's going on. I think God's big enough to handle frustrations, and that doesn't mean we put things on God that aren't true, but there's a whole book in the Bible.
He's an eternal being. Exactly. We're not going to like give him too much for him to handle.
Exactly. And so I can't think of any song. Do you have one off the top of your
head? No, we can't think of any, but we're like, why isn't that a thing? Like, lament is a form of worship.
I think that just people who write songs just think that that's going to put people feeling sad, which is that's what lamenting is. Yeah,
that's why we need them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes things are sad. Like that's, the last 2 years of living in this world.
That's what I want to write songs about these days. Like I want to write songs about things we don't write songs about.
Put a lament song out. We'll totally play it.
All right. I lament. Maybe I need to work it first.
Yeah. No, that's
that's super true though.
I just want to end this podcast with that clip. That's nice.
Yeah, I think we need a healthy variety of things we sing about in church, because we live a life that's not one thing. We live in a life of up and downs and different turns.
But we try and make church. We try and make Christianity, we try and make the Bible, following Jesus, we try and make it this, like, eternal, like, I want to feel good.
Right, marketable.
I need to get back to feeling good. Right. And I say we, that's like the royal we, not like anyone in particular, but like, it's just kind of where the world's at these days. And that's not, there's a place for that. The Bible has plenty of that, but it doesn't have only that. Right. So, yeah, that's a good point, man. Right on, dude. Well, thank you for sitting down here with me.
And thank you, dude. This
let me pick your brain a little bit, talk about music and worship and all that good stuff. If you guys have any questions, you can send those to us at questions@becomehope.com or saltysaints@becomehope.com. If you're listening on whatever platform, like, subscribe, give us a rating, comment, whatever you can. We like that stuff. Check out Low. LWO on Spotify. He's got some great music. Lasting Hope, not The Lasting Hope, correct?
No, it's The Lasting
Hope. It is The. Yep. Was it ever just Lasting Hope?
Depends which promoter you ask.
Okay, I was going to say, because I've seen it written both ways, and every time I think I'm saying it right, I'm like, wait, which is it?
It's The. So,
The Lasting Hope. Great songs there as well. And anything else? You got like 10 seconds, Make it happen.
No, I appreciate you letting me come on and just ramble for a little bit.
I like good. It, dude. It's
been healthy, cathartic.
Good. Good. Yeah, I need that. This is like my therapy session once a week to get it all out there. So right on, man. Thank you, Logan. And thank you guys for listening in. And until next time, stay salty.
Do you want to better understand the Bible and give biblical answers to those who ask you about your faith? Hi, this is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Podcast Show. Listen to us weekly as we bring the truth often found in the ivory towers of seminary down to the steeple towers of local church. Join me along with many of the nation's top theologians as we offer answers to life tough questions from an apologetic perspective. Subscribe to the show at lifeaudio.com.